Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is obviously in the throes of trying to figure out the, I think, kind of bogus, in my opinion, Save College Sports Act, because...
You're showing that side of it?
Well, I think it's stupid that the college players have no say. This is collective bargaining with no collective bargaining. You're not allowing the players, who are half of this stupid thing, and the reason why this all started in the first place, to actually have a say in what is being told to them or not. That's BS.
Yeah.
It's BS. They should get a voice. Like every other league gets a voice. This is a professional league. Whether you guys like it or not and tried to fight it for as long as you can, in the NFL, the players get a say. In the Major League Baseball, they get a say. In Major League Soccer, they get a say. It's stupid to me. The players get no say.
They
just people in Washington and the people who run the NCAA, once again, forcing things on the players. I don't think that that's very fair.
Well, the reason that this one's different is that this one didn't say they can't. It leaves open the possibility of having a CBA. So it's not in it, but it's something.
But they don't have a say on this part of it. They don't get a say in things that fundamentally impact the league, which means impact them. It has things on transfers and realignment and like it's things that directly impact them, Drew. It says, oh, no, you can't transfer more than once or you got to sit out. I'm a player. I get no say. That sucks.
I understand that side of things. I do think it, I'm not going to say it helps the athlete a little bit more, but it makes you, and it's not like it's a free pass. Cause I think, you know, you just the same as you can leave freely between jobs or whatever. I get it. But I think it helps them a little bit in terms of you have to make a decision that actually means something. And I just say, well, I'm going to commit here and then I'm going to bounce here. And then I know that I'm going to bounce here. Like you're playing, you have to plan things out a little bit more in terms of your path to get where you want to go. Like you have to look at more than just the amount of money that you're going to make. Like, I think it changes the mindset of how you go into things where you have to look at development a little bit more. You have to more than just, well, I'm getting the biggest check from this place, so I'm going to go to a place that probably is not even the best for me or one that means that I'll be most successful just to make $1 million more. I think it helps them fundamentally process which school to go to a little bit more, which in the end can maybe help them a little bit more.
But I get that, Drew, you're ripping away
the freedom to move. I get it.
They don't stop Nick Saban from taking the biggest check, whether it's the right school for him to go to or not. Jimbo Fisher went to the wrong school. They didn't stop him from taking the check. It's like pocket watching for college athletes. They're always watching the small check and not the big one. But beyond that, we've had that conversation a little bit. I think it's BS. We think there should be collective bargaining. They should have a union.
That isn't even the thing
that is interesting to me. What is interesting to me in part of this is they are trying to, which I think is an important thing, kill conference realignment. Originally, they were trying to kill it all together, saying nobody can transfer to any other conference at all. The recent change says no one from the Power Four can go to each other, but anybody in the Group of Six can. Do we like this change? Does this make sense for the sport? I will say from the Big 12 and the ACC standpoint, you should love it.
Yeah.
No one gets to come. You should have wished you had this 10 years ago, and then you'd still have Texas and Oklahoma in your conference, or 20 years ago, and you'd still have Missouri and all the other ones. If this existed, the conferences the way they should have been, with regional alignment in the conference the way it's set. The problem is the damage is done. I guess this just prevents further damage, which I'll take.
Yeah, that's the tough part about the damage is done. When you look at the West Coast teams in the Big Ten, which makes absolutely no sense as a whole financially for the alternate sports. Football's fine, you can travel, but there has been a competitive disadvantage for the East Coast teams playing on the West Coast and the West Coast to the East Coast. That's been factually proven out where teams have struggled doing that back and forth. I guess I'm for it, but you got to think who's really going to add. Like Power Four, who's really going to add? Because it comes down to television sets and dollars and tradition's a big thing about it, but are you really gaining the televisions? Because guess what? The biggest market's already in the Power Four.
I don't think it's about the markets anymore with the expansion, which I actually like that part of it because market size is the reason why we got to this crappy place in the beginning. is everybody want, well, we need this big market, so we need to do it. The markets are the are part of the problem, why we got the expansion the way that it was in the first place. But I think it from a, it's a small handful of teams, USF, UNLV, Boise State, maybe North Dakota State. It's more of a program. It's more of a it's more of a in sport uplifting thing than it is a viewership deal necessarily. Which is why I think it's a smaller handful of teams. The only group of six team from a football standpoint that can afford, or just in general, the only group of six team out of all the ones that are in the group of six that can afford the $20.5 million school budget for the athletic department is USF. So if you're the ACC, geographically, they fit into the ACC's plan if they want to do make it 18 teams instead of just 17.
I looked it up.
If you're the Big 12 and you wanted to dip your toe back into Florida, then USF would be the one I think that everybody would keep their eyes on because they can afford the budget, which means they can afford to at least hang a little bit more from a money standpoint with teams in their conference.
This is why, genuinely, this is why this kind of change, even though it's the Big Ten and the SEC asking for it, is really good for the Big 12.
It helps them, yeah.
It helps out the Big 12 and the ACC more than I would expect for something that the other two conferences are asking for. Now, I think that they're just saying, we'll maintain our superiority just as long as the Big 12 and ACC don't merge and then try to take us on. They're trying to, I think their attempt is probably to keep it at two powers, Drew, and not some way in which those schools, like the Big 12 robs Clemson and then that conference dies and now there's a third big voice in the thing.
Yeah.
And so like it helps them too. But this idea that the Big 12 couldn't be robbed anymore of their schools is big. I looked it up, by the way, as of last fiscal year, 2025, these are the five schools that would most likely be impacted by it. If you were still plucking from the group of six, these are the ones with the largest football budgets in the group of six. Colorado State is actually number one, Drew, at $38 million. They already have Colorado, so it wouldn't make sense for the Big 12. South Florida, number two, as you'd previously mentioned, Boise State, three, Memphis and Oregon State, four and five. So unless you want San Diego State or Washington State and you're trying to go out west further, or UNLV, those are all in the top 10. And those are all $20 million-ish, rather than 37 for Colorado State, 33 for Florida State, and 30 for Boise State, the only ones over 30.
I really will. I do. If there's one group of six team that I would want, and you knew that I could get, it would be USF, just because they can afford. From a money standpoint, they're
You already have Colorado, so bringing in Colorado State's like meh. I don't care.
Geographically, Colorado State, North Dakota State, even Boise State, I think makes sense for the Big 12.
But the Big 12's not geographic anymore either.
Correct,
it's not as bad as the Big 10.
It's
not even as bad as the ACC, Cody, because the ACC has Stanford and Cal. So the regionality of the sport has really changed where the Big 12 could get away with, and they've already got a team in Florida going after USF.
But USF is getting a brand new stadium this year. Next year.
I guess this is like the part, Bank, that really drives me crazy. And this goes back to like the original conversation we were having, Drew. Is this in practice? This like realignment thing, it's good for the sport, but it would have been a lot better for the sport 20 years ago. And the only reason they care now is because college kids are getting paid. That's it. They didn't care to fix any of their problems or any of the issues with the NCAA for 100 years until college kids started making $30,000. Now it's an issue. Now we got to fix the whole sport. It's all a problem because some 18-year-old drives a Mercedes and it didn't get handed to him from a donor. That's the issue I have with the players not having a voice. The only reason they're trying to screw all this stuff up is because college kids started making money. Like, it's so gross, I guess, Pink. You didn't say, do you care if the college players don't have a say in this? You think this is good?
No, I think they should.
The college players should have a voice in it, but I think it's a lot harder to manage when
it is.
Players are... Like
it's easier said than done in some ways, admittedly, because the Players Association has players who are sticking around.
Correct.
More than 3 years.
Correct. So I think it makes it really difficult for them to have a big enough voice at the seat of the table, I suppose, where I don't know if they have a board and there's former players on the board. It would look different than what we traditionally know with, other groups of people.
But you can have people like leagues. I would just think it's fairly simple. Former college athletes who have been dealing with this for a while are paid representatives for you in the negotiating window. They get a couple of lawyers and a couple of former players, and it's a board. the same as the College Football Playoff Committee has a board. It's 12 people in a room helping decide the fate for college football players. But you need a voice in the room who is not on the side of the NCAA. That's where the former players come into play.
They desperately need a commissioner.
I don't think, yeah, which is where I think the NCAA, yeah, I understand.
They do need that too.
I think the legislation thing is beyond just the NCAA, where, yeah, you know, you'll have a commissioner, whoever that is, and then you'll have a Reggie Bush. You'll have, you know, you just pick names out of a hat, yeah, in terms of guys that have played that are a part of that group for that voice. But I mean, I think ultimately, I think what they're trying to do first and foremost, that's why this one has got so much success or made it as far as it has, is it leaves the union or a players association on the table, which is why I think this one is advancing as fast as it is, because they know that there's a deadline and they know that they need legislation. And whether it's them leaving it open, Cody, is the reason why I think it is more likely than not it actually passes. Because all they want, they just need legislation. They don't, yeah, care how they get it. They just need, college sports needs legislation. So if it's the one, and even if it doesn't have an immediate CBA, an immediate players union, the fact that that's still on the table, that's the one that's most likely to pass, because it can eventually, after a few years, be added, where once you get your bearings and you have the legislation, now we can start to add the things where the players' voices come in, and you really start to make it what you really start to build the future of college sports more than just the wild, wild west as it is. Just try to get some foundation.
Yeah, because you know you only got like maybe 10 years of security unless they're saying, hey, they can no longer pluck your teams out. You can actually build a conference knowing, but the problem is like too late. The Big 12 already lost Missouri and Texas and Oklahoma and Oregon, you know, went to the Big Ten. You know, like, the dam already broke years ago.
It's jumping in too late.
Something like, you can't move now.
Before damage control.
Oh, you really did it now.
I do think that even, let's say Missouri left and A&M left and Nebraska was gone.
Let's make the teams go back. Bring back the old conferences. But make it all equal.
But to me, even if you take it to after that wave, let's say Missouri and A&M stay in the SEC and Nebraska stays in the Big Ten, even before, you still would have the Big 12. You still would have the Pac-12. You would still have the Big 12 mostly regionalized. And then you started it. I know the Big 12 would probably end up being not worse off, but the number of teams wouldn't be the same. And you restarted it. I think that it would make things a little bit better, even if you kept Missouri in the SEC. This whole new wave of Oklahoma and Texas and what they did really spurred on the chaos that came from realignment, with all these, the conferences being named the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, but you've got Pacific Coast teams, you know, it's kind of bonkers.
The SEC is the only one that maintain regional rivalries.
They stretch
themselves out too. I don't want to make it seem like they went all the way into Texas and they went and, you know, like they lost some of that stuff too, but they're the only one that maintain at least some version of regional rivalry that was a little bit different outside of that. And so, but it's just, I don't know. It just feels so.
It does feel like.
What good is it doing?
They had to get it done, though, in the next couple of weeks, Cody, because there's a recess with the Senate or whatever in early August. So either next week or the week after that, it could hit the Senate floor, and this thing could be figured out by the time we get to the regular season of college football this year for the future.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.